When Amanda Palmer was a student at Lexington High School in the early 90s, she spent much of her time studying drama and musical theater. Flash forward a decade to 2004, when her band the Dresden Dolls scored its biggest hit with the single Coin Operated Boy, and you can really hear the influence from the stage.
Coin Operated Boy, sitting on the shelf, he is just a toy, but I turn him on.
The band's style was often categorized by music writers as punk cabaret.
Made of plastic.
So it makes sense what she's doing today, starring as the MC in a 2-month run of the 1966 Broadway musical Cabaret at the American Repertory Theater in Harvard Square.
Mama, it's a monitor of Europe with a couple of my school chums and a lady chaperone.
We got to listen in on a recent rehearsal, where we heard Palmer and music director Lance Horn working on the song I Don't Care Much.
Is it the R that people are missing?
They're hearing Kata. Yeah, Kata.
So do you want me to super Americanize that first?
I think the first.
Is it
the first one?
Or
I don't
the
care.
R?
The air.
I don't care very much. Eyes away.
And more of a TH. Can you split the difference?
Yeah.
The musical takes place in 1931 and depicts a seedy Berlin night spot called the Kit Kat Club. It's the Great Depression, the Weimar government is on the brink of collapse, and the Nazis are on the rise.
That song takes place towards the end of the second act, towards the end of the show, and things have disintegrated and are pretty dark. It's a really powerful number.
It really mirrors what's happening in the German culture at that moment.
Delusional idea that things are not falling apart.
And the sax will come in here.
Good sound falls when your coat's too thin. Feet on walls when the roof caves in.
Cabaret runs at the ART's Oberon Theater through the end of October. It premiered earlier this week, and its star, Amanda Palmer of the Dresden Dolls, joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
Amanda, this whole production came about when Diane Paulus, head of the ART, who our listeners have heard before on this program, approached you about doing something, doing anything for her. And what you came up with was Cabaret. Why?
Well, actually, what I came up with was that I wanted to work with Stephen Bogart, who was my mentor and drama teacher and director in high school. And he and I had been talking for years about wanting to do a project, any project together. But we'd been particularly interested in Cabaret ever since I saw him do it at the high school. Long after I graduated, I would go back to the high school all the time to see his productions. And in 2000, I saw him do a production of Cabaret that just blew my mind.
And so a high school performance was your inspiration for a professional performance further down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. His vision for it was really was just beautiful. And I said, you know, if you and I got together at some point, Bogart, and we took this to a real theater and we did it, we could blow it out of the water. And that was 10 years ago. And we actually looked at doing it at a few different we looked at the possibility of producing it on our own in Boston. We talked about doing it at the Sydney Opera House because they offered me, you know, a slot. And eventually, you know, enough things fell through that when Diane Paulus came to me, the timing just seemed right.
Listeners, we're talking to Amanda Palmer, lead singer of the Dresden Dolls, who's in Boston this weekend and through October for a performance of Cabaret at the ART. She's in the studio, and you can call and have a chance to talk to her or ask her questions. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Amanda, you just mentioned Stephen Bogart, your Lexington High School drama teacher. You chose him to be the director for this, as I understand it, and Diane Paulus said, okay, we'll take Stephen Bogart. So you've described him as the person who taught you to make theater and the person who encouraged you to take creative risks. And I found this recent interview where you said, and I'm going to read this quote, you said, what he's got and what he does isn't normal and isn't anywhere. So what is it he's got as a director that you wanted so much for this?
First of all, it's just an incredible passion for the work itself. He's a really dedicated artist. And what he taught me and and the students that I was with, you know, in high school, and a lot of us have gone on to, you know, in later years have always said, you know, we can't take for granted what we were exposed to so early. Is just a really open-minded, risky way of looking at how you make things and how you approach them. He would never take the easy way out, and nothing, you know, it was never the safe, easy way with Bogart. It was always how far could we push things, and the productions at the high school were always really electric and often really controversial, and, you know, parents and teachers would always be aghast and terrified at some of the things we were doing and some of the themes we were tackling. But it's also the fact that he really doesn't have an ego as a director. He's always serving the work and the artists, and it's about the process being enjoyable, and, you know, and not just doing the expected.
Of course, Steve Bogart has worked mostly in high school theater, so this was a creative risk for him too, in a way.
Yeah, well, he's also a playwright, and he's also a painter. He's done theater outside of the high school. He's directed outside of the high school, and he had a play of his produced by the Boston Playwrights Theater, I think, a couple years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So he has ventured outside of the high school, but he's a high school teacher, so it's a full time job, and he's, you know, teaching full time plus putting up productions after school pretty much 9 months a year. So his time is really precious, which is why we had to do these rehearsals over the summer.
A tweet has come in, and I want to read this. It's from Connor Olmsted, and he tweets, "I saw the Cabaret on Tuesday. It was my very first time, and Amanda Palmer blew my mind. It was so moving." So early good reviews. I actually think it's worth hearing a scene. This is a scene from the show where actress Allie Trasher, who's playing a character named Sally Bowles, is singing the top of a number called "Don't Tell Mama."
Mama thinks I'm living in a convent, a secluded little convent in the southern part of France. Mama doesn't even have an inkling that I'm working in a nightclub in a pair of lacy pants. So please, sir, if you run into my mama, don't reveal my indiscretion.
So I should note two things. Number one, I think that's you hooting in the background. And number two, that was recorded at a rehearsal, whereas the real production has a full band.
Yeah.
So, but about that song particularly, I mean, you know, secluded little convent, lacy pants. I wonder if this resonates at all with your own experience, because, you know, you're from this well-to-do Boston suburb, Lexington. How did your family react to your unconventional and sort of risque stage persona when you first started playing in bands?
Oh, they had had my entire life to get used to it, I suppose. You know, I was going to school dressed in my underwear starting in eighth grade.
And so you broke them in early.
Yeah, my mother used to try to stop me from going to school certain mornings, saying that I looked too much like, and I quote, a harlot.
Listeners, we're talking to Amanda Palmer, lead singer of the Dresden Dolls, who's now performing in the Cabaret at the ART. She's here to talk to you. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you had a question you want to put for her. And Kevin from South Boston is calling. And this is actually a BUR-related question, too, I understand, Kevin.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I love your song about Christopher Lydon. I just adore it. And I want to know what your inspiration was, if you actually did call Christopher Lydon and get cut off.
Christopher Lydon being the former host of The Connection, which was a very popular show on WBUR.
Yeah, so I had a gigantic radio crush on Christopher Lydon and wrote a love song about him. No, actually, that's not based on a true story. I never called and was disconnected and cut off by Christopher Lydon. That was just serving the drama of the song. But that song has a wonderful happy ending, because Christopher Lydon eventually heard it after the Dresden Dolls got big enough and it was passed around. And he took me out on a dinner date. So my fantasies came true.
I want to go back to that. The clip we heard at the very beginning shows you working with your music director, Lance Horn, on your German diction. And much of the work you've done, especially with the Dresden Dolls, has been compared to the work of Bertolt Brecht, the German playwright. In fact, the Dresden Dolls, your band, often gets described as, quote, a Brechtian punk cabaret duo. So are you a big Germanophile? Why all the Germany?
Well, all the Germany crept into my life when I was a teenager. I fell in love with a German guy. And I don't have any German in my family, but I decided to learn German when I was about 18, and then I lived in Germany for a year. And just a lot of my, a lot of my artistic influences and loves have been German. I really, really love Kurt Weill. Kurt Weill, I think, was sort of my the discovery of Kurt Weill and that kind of musical theater was something that I think pried me open, because I didn't really resonate with Weber and Rice and Rodgers and Hammerstein and the kind of the cornier, cheesier musicals that I sort of liked as a kid. But as I grew up, discovering that there was a different take on musical theater that was more honest and less sentimental, really.
We have another call who I think is interested in your upcoming schedule, and this is Caitlin from Philadelphia, calling from Philly. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello. Amanda, I am a huge, but I missed your show in Philadelphia. I'm coming to the one in New York. What made you decide to do your eyebrows? I like love the idea. It's awesome.
The eyebrows, which I'm looking at, by the way, and which are pencil thin, painted on. Is that how you describe them too?
Yeah, they're just drawn on with liquid eyeliner. And I was actually inspired to do them about 10 years ago. I shaved my eyebrows off for a Marlene Dietrich lookalike contest ball, which, of course, I lost. But while my eyebrows were growing, and I decided to draw them in creatively, and it just stuck. So now I'm stuck with it.
We also have a call from Kelsey from Methuen. Kelsey, Amanda Palmer is here for your question or comment.
Hi. Well, I'm in a theater group at my school that is student-run, and I am one of the directors. And I was wondering what you find are good things for directors to do for fellow students.
Oh, well, Baron, I mean, I would say to any director, especially if you're younger and you're working with your peer group, just remember that you're not actually in charge.
Like the kids are in charge?
I mean, any putting on any production is really a group effort, and the more your actors and the people working on the show, right, and the crew, including the crew and even the people taking the tickets at the door, the more everyone feels like they're really own the production. The better it is for everybody. And so really, I would just, I would really listen to your actors and let them follow their impulses instead of looking at it and thinking like, okay, I'm the director, I need to tell them what to do and I need to figure all this out. I would spend I'd spend a good chunk of time really bonding with them, and especially at the beginning of a process or a play, sit down and do a lot more listening than talking.
Kelsey just asked about directing, and I think it's worth mentioning here that you have been at the ART before. You were in a show called The Onion Cellar, mm-hmm. and you very famously did not enjoy doing that show. In fact, you blogged and you called the experience a nightmare. You basically said that you were a mismatch with the original director, and who, in your words, quote, wanted more of a presentation and I wanted more of a catastrophe. Why was that a mismatch?
It was a mismatch because I went in having worked mostly with Bogart and having taken Bogart's sort of workshop and very collaborative approach and often very messy approach to how theater is created. And Marcus Stern, who I was paired with as the director for The Onion Cellar, which was supposed to be a workshop show, meaning we were taking a source text and a bunch of actors and some ideas and we were going to create a show from scratch. And our processes were so different, and we had such a hard time seeing eye to eye about how even to create the show, that it really didn't get off the ground. And it wound up actually being a really beautiful production, but it was so far off the mark from what I had wanted to do that it was kind of a disappointment. But it's actually one of the things that's really wonderful being back at the ART, because when I was at the ART a few years ago to do The Onion Cellar, I felt the incredible loss is the infrastructure was so great. You know, the people working at the ART were fantastic, and the cast was great, and the space was great, and all the ingredients were there, but I really didn't feel like the show, you know, was honoring all the work that was being put into it. And I mean, cabaret now feels like the antidote to all of that pain.
We're running out of time with you, unfortunately, but I understand that maybe these shows are sold out. Does that give people an option who don't already have tickets?
We're looking at adding standing room to the shows, and there are always tickets being released, so if you follow Twitter, you can find some. You can also come to my late night cabaret shows. I'm playing solo about once a week, and you can find all of that on the ART's website.
Amanda Palmer, thanks for coming into the studio on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Amanda Palmer is in a new production of Cabaret tonight at the ART in Harvard Square. Her run lasts through October 29th. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. You can die.